Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We appreciate your presence, and we have those who are visiting with us, and we're always glad that you're with us as well, and we invite you back at the next opportunity that you have. It's good to be able to come together to worship God on the first day of the week and be encouraged, and I hope that we benefit now from some time spent in God's Word. I want to speak this morning from some thoughts there in our scripture reading. Paul talked about how that he wanted to depart and be with Christ. Are you living like you want to die? Are you living like you want to die? You know, some people think about the life hereafter and they have thoughts about that that are very good. But they're not really taking care of the life in the here and now. And I think about individuals in our modern world and they have the right attitude or they say the right things about the life hereafter. They talk real well about heaven and going to heaven and the need to go to heaven. But they don't have the right attitude toward the here and now. They're not living their life right now. But if you were to talk with them about heaven, they would say all the right things and they would have all the right attitude about that. And I want to go to heaven and we need to go to heaven. Well, let's talk about the life here and now. Well, that's often a different story. The life here and now is not matching up with the life that it's going to take to go to heaven. And I think that this shows up in a couple of areas. Have you ever had a Bible discussion maybe with a friend or family member or a co-worker, and you're just talking about some Bible things in general, and they get on the topic of heaven and they say all the right things? Now, keep in mind that this person, they've never obeyed the gospel. They don't read their Bible. They don't go to church anywhere. But you're talking with them about God and things like that, and they say all the right things about heaven. That we need to go there, and one day there'll be a judgment day, and good people will be in heaven and all that kind of thing. But they're not living a life in the here and now that is going to get them to heaven. But they know how to talk about heaven. You ever had a discussion like that? I have. It comes up a lot, you know, and you know, just really positive and right and good things about heaven. Okay, let's start talking about how that we need to start reading our Bible and going to church. So, well, no, I don't want to talk about that. I just want to talk about heaven, you see. It just doesn't match up. And so it's easier to talk about the future and what's going to be there and all that. But the life here and now that's too personal, you see. That's a little bit too close to home. And so I'd rather just talk about heaven. Another place that shows up, interestingly enough, is at funerals. Have you ever attended a funeral? I have. Have you ever attended a funeral where what the preacher was preaching didn't really match up with how the person actually lived? In other words, he was preaching them into heaven, and it could be some dirty, rotten scoundrel. Never obeyed the gospel, wicked, immoral, but the preacher's up there preaching about heaven and being in heaven and how we need to go to heaven and this person's in heaven and all that. You're going, scratch your head. I knew this person and it's just not matching up. All of a sudden, right at the end at a funeral, we know how to say all the right things about the future life. And we kind of just ignore the life here and now. I attended a funeral one time of a member of the church. And they weren't living right at all. And when I attended this funeral, there wasn't one thing said about him being a Christian. There wasn't one thing said about the church. Someone got up and stood up and talked about his secular work. And then another person got up and talked about some of his hobbies that he had, but there wasn't one thing said about him being a Christian. Don't you find that a little odd? So what's happening is that we need to live like we want to die. In other words, if we want to die and go to heaven, and we know all the right things to say about that, then we need to live right now. And our life in the here and now needs to match up with all that positive stuff that we say about heaven. And you know, there's actually an example of that in the Bible. Turn back with me to Numbers chapter 23. You may recall when the Israelites were going through the wilderness wandering. And Balak wants Balaam to curse Israel. Here's this big group of, you know, thousands and thousands of people marching through the wilderness, and he sees them coming. Curse these people. We don't want them attacking us. We don't want them prospering anyway. Go out there and curse them. Well, you know the story how that when Balaam went out there, God changed that into a blessing. But what's interesting about this story is the very first time that Balaam goes out there, he starts saying some things because God wanted him to say that. And he has a really nice statement about heaven. He has a really nice statement about how to die. And he says all the right things. But then later, he doesn't live in a way that matches up with what he said. And so it gets me to thinking, do we want to live like we want to die? Or do we just want to talk about how great it would be to die and how right it is to die and go to heaven? But we don't want to live right now in order to match up with that. Look with me at Numbers chapter 23. So Balak wants Balaam to go out there and curse Israel, but he doesn't do it. He goes out and blesses Israel. Verse 8, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Numbers 23, verse 8. And how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? Look at all these great things that Balaam knows how to talk about. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, it is a people that dwelleth alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. I just want to be right and be like them. And this is the type of people that I want to be like. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last, when I'm on my deathbed, let my last end be like this. Wow. You can't get a better statement. I just want to die the death of the righteous. I want to die and be right with God. And that's great. And that's noble. And that's encouraging. And we need to have that in our life. That needs to be our attitude. But what happens two chapters later? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 25. Now we begin to see that the walk doesn't match up with the talk. So we've got this, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like this. But then we come over to Numbers chapter 25, and we find that the Israelites are playing the harlot. Verse 1, they're engaged in idolatry with the Moabites, and they're engaged in sexual immorality. And when you turn to other Bible passages, lo and behold, Balaam is in the mix. He taught Balak to cause a stumbling block before Israel. So the story is given in chapter 25, but you've got to look at some other passages to see how that Balaam comes in. Turn over to Numbers 31 and verse 16. Later, when it comes time to slaughter the Midianites, notice in Numbers chapter 31, verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against Jehovah in the matter of Peor. Mark that down. Numbers 31, 16 goes with Numbers 25 and verse 1. We're not told about Balaam in Numbers 25 and verse 1, but we are told about him later. He was in there giving counsel to make sure that they engaged in idolatry and fornication. Let me die the death of the righteous. But when it comes to actual daily living, I'm not going to live right. Do you want to live like you want to die? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. It gets worse. Not only did he counsel Balak to teach a stumbling block, but he did it for money on top of that. Oh, let me die the death of the righteous. And then when we begin to look at it a little bit, he is doing things that are sinful and wrong. You know what happens, brethren and friends? There are those who really know how to talk about the hereafter. Oh, they know how to talk with the best of them about heaven. But they don't walk right in the here and now. And so our lesson this morning is to encourage all of us to get those two matched up. Yes, talk about heaven and talk about how you want to die and talk about how it's great to die and be right with God and go to heaven. But make sure that as we're talking all of that, that we're walking it right in the here and now. In 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 15, talking about these false teachers, and he's describing them in different ways. One way, forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam. What is that way? What is that way? The way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. The same thing is mentioned in Jude 11. Jude 11. Turn with me there. See, let me die the death of the righteous. Balaam knew how to talk right about the afterlife, but on a practical level, he did not live that. Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain. That's the way of murder. And they ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire. For hire, you see. This man, Numbers 31:16, counseled the Israelites. It says that he taught Balaam. We get that from Revelation 2. Turn with me to Revelation 2:14. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. He goes up to this man. Here's how you get him to fall. And then he had this problem of hire of wrongdoing. And so money is involved and covetousness is involved in these matters. We're not given all the details, but we're told of a very negative characteristic about this man. And yet he's able to say, well, I just want to die the death of the righteous. He knew how to talk right about the hereafter, but he didn't know how to walk right in the here and now. And so Revelation 2:14, for I have a few things against thee, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam. He's not saying that Balaam is in the congregation of Pergamum. He's not saying that Balaam's still living. He's saying that the members there in Pergamum are like the Balaam of the Old Testament. They're teaching people and they're causing a stumbling block, who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. That's two chapters after, let me die the death of the righteous. So, brethren, I ask this question of myself and all of us. Do we want to live like we want to die? If we want to die the death of the righteous, do we want to live the life of the righteous? Are you living like you want to die? Let's look at a few examples for our admonition this morning. Do you want to die the death of the righteous? Everybody here would say yes. If we polled everybody this morning, we would all say yes. I want to die the death of the righteous. But are we living the life of the righteous right now? Or are we living the life of sowing our wild oats and going out and doing this and going out and doing that? Turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Brethren, our admonition this morning is, yes, let's all die the death of the righteous. But today, October the 6th, right now, 10:40, let's live the life of the righteous. Jesus died on the cross. God's grace has been shown toward all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, that's seriously, and righteously and godly in this present world. Oh yes, let's die the death of the righteous, but right now, let's be living the life of the righteous in this present world. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. I know that you've talked with those about spiritual matters and serious matters, and they know how to talk with the best of them about heavenly things. But they don't want to straighten up their life right now in the here and now. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Why did Jesus die? Why did He go through all of that? Who His own self bear our sins in His own body upon the tree. Why did Jesus die on the cross? That we, having died unto sins, I'm going to put off that old man, might live unto righteousness. I've got to be living right now. If I want to die the death of the righteous, I need to be living right now. If that means obeying the gospel, if that means coming back to the Lord in some way, if that means repenting and confessing some sin, if that means getting rid of some relationship, some habit, some attitude, whatever it is, we all want to die the death of the righteous. But do we want to live the life of the righteous? To have one, the death of the righteous, you have to have the other. Do you want to die unto the Lord, but not live unto the Lord? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. As you're turning over to Romans chapter 14, I want you to key in your Bibles on that little word unto. That's very important in this context. Paul is talking about dying unto the Lord. That means I die, and I'm going to do that with reference to being with the Lord. I'm going to die unto the Lord. I'm going to die in such a way that all my actions have been directed towards serving Him. Do you want to die unto the Lord? Everybody say yes. But what's that going to take? That's going to take living unto the Lord. Romans chapter 14, verse 6, talking about scruples, opinions in the local church. Some wanted to eat meats, others didn't. Some wanted to observe certain days other than the Lord's Day without any overt religious action as far as being a condition of salvation. Others didn't. So there's some scruples and opinions going on, and there, Paul is talking about how all of that is to get worked out. In verse 6, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that eateth, eateth unto the Lord. I'm doing this in service to the Lord. I want to live a faithful Christian life, and all that I do is going to be unto the Lord. He that eateth not unto the Lord, he eateth not and giveth thanks. This is not part of something that I'm doing unto the Lord. I don't eat meat. That's not a part of something that I do in my life. Either way, it's fine. But I'm going to keep the Lord in mind and make sure that I'm living in response to Him. Verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth unto himself. Do you know what's forgotten in our modern society? What's forgotten is that we just live unto ourselves. I get up each day, and I just do what I want. I don't have to worry about any God in heaven. I don't live unto the Lord. I just live for myself. I put on what I want to wear. I think what I want to think. If I want to say something, I say it. No, Paul says, don't forget this. None liveth unto himself, and none dieth unto himself. We're all doing this in relationship to our Maker, and we have to be living right. For none of us, and he's saying in reality, people try it, but in reality, none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. That's why you have to act properly in the local congregation, and you can't just act any way you want, because your actions are going to be held accountable by God. So whether we live, our actions in the local church, we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Everything has to be kept in mind that from the moment we wake up until the moment we die, we are the Lord's, and we have to live in accordance to His will. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, to me every knee shall bow. A quotation out of Isaiah. Every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself unto God. We all want to die unto the Lord, but do we want to live unto the Lord? In other words, on a daily basis, speak and think and act in a way that is pleasing to God. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, look at verse 18, for he that herein serveth Christ is well pleasing. I've got to be thinking about my daily service to Christ. Is it well pleasing? If I want to die unto the Lord and be ready for when that day comes, great. I'm going to have to live unto the Lord right now. And that's going to take considering how I treat my brother or sister in the local congregation. Do you want to die and be with Jesus? Raise your hand, or like Brother Mo Hafley, shake your head this way. You know, he did that a lot. Shake your head this way. The kids got a kick out of that. He even did that at home, I think, a few times. Do you want to die and be with Jesus? Shake your head this way. You know. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. We all say yes to that. But when Paul said, if I depart and be with Christ, do you know what? He lived in such a way that he was with Jesus. Yes, he was going to depart and be with Jesus, but he was living with Jesus right now and serving him. That's why when it comes time to depart, he can be with Jesus. That doesn't just happen on that day. You live any way you want, and then at the end, finally, you think, well, you just depart and be with Jesus. We have to be with Jesus now in his service. So look at it. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, I am in a strait. That means I'm confined. I'm hemmed in with these two choices. Having the desire, to depart and be with Christ. And I believe that Paul had lived such a life, if you look at chapter 3, 6 and following, he lived such a life that that would be a true statement. If he were to die, he would depart and be with Christ. I don't think he was speaking out of turn there. Paul was a righteous man. If I depart and be with Christ, or to be with you, those are the two things that are imposed upon me right now. He's in prison. But look at it. If he were to depart and be with Christ, back up a couple of verses. What was he doing in his life right now? He was magnifying Christ in his body. He's preaching the gospel. He's in jail. And it wasn't because he had broken any laws, but because of his preaching. So look at verse 20. I magnify Christ in my body. Yes, Paul would depart and be with Christ because right now he's living with Christ. So if we answer the question, oh yes, I want to depart and be with Christ, then we need to be able to say, right now, I am living with Christ. And if the answer to that is no, then I need to make some changes. I can't depart and be with Christ unless I'm right now living with Christ. You know, it's not a situation of what happened with the recent statement from the Pope. He said just a few weeks ago to a group of atheists who don't believe in God, that God will still accept you and allow you to enter into heaven if you just live by a good conscience. You don't even have to be a believer anymore to go to heaven. You see, everybody finds a way to get everybody into heaven. We all know how to talk great about heaven, but the life is not matching up with that. So you can be an atheist now and go to heaven, according to the Pope. As long as you live, each day you get up, you don't believe in God at all, but you just try to be honest and tell the truth and pay your taxes and pay your bills on time, just live by a good conscience, God will accept you. No, to be with Jesus in the afterlife, we have to be with Jesus now in the here and now. You want to fall asleep in Jesus? Fall asleep in the New Testament is a metaphor, is a figure for death. A euphemism. It's another way of speaking of something that is very touching, but in a good way, falling asleep. You remember Stephen, when he was stoned, he breathed his last and fell asleep. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. Do you want to fall asleep in Jesus? On your deathbed, whether it comes suddenly, car accident, just suddenly, or whether we're ill or old age or whatever that is, when our breath passes from our body, and that is an interesting thing. If you've ever been around a loved one and you hear, and it just never comes up again, that's a touching thing. They fall asleep in Jesus. Or not. But I want to fall asleep in Jesus. Well, I've got to live right in Jesus. And while I'm awake, in my waking, living moments, I need to be with Jesus and obeying Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul talks about those who fall asleep in Jesus. In other words, they died as a faithful Christian. The Lord's going to come and take them with Him. They're going to rise and they're going to go to heaven together. Verse 14, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." You want to fall asleep in Jesus? Absolutely. But in order to do that, we've got to live now. Turn with me to chapter 5. Look at the same context. Chapter 5, verse 4. "You, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." That is the day that Jesus comes, when those who fall asleep in Jesus, He's going to take with them to heaven. When that day comes, how do we need to be living coming up to that day? "You are all sons of light," verse 5, "and sons of the day." That means righteous living, light, according to the truth. Not just any way I want, or I'm out living this way and out living that way. And it's not a matter of what my mom and dad wants, or it's a matter of what God wants. It's a matter of what God wants. It's a matter of what the light of the truth says. I want to please God. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. That is, living that unfaithful life of the worldliness. "So then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober." Wake up. Put on our thinking caps. Live right, you see. Not just like our friends want or the world wants. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not under wrath, but unto the obtaining of the salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake," whether Jesus comes when we're living, "or sleep," when He comes and we've already died, "we should live together with Him." But it's going to come, look at it, verse 8, "putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the hope of salvation." We have to live right. We have to live right. And if we live right and we're awake and sober in Jesus and living faithfully, then when it comes time, we'll fall asleep in Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. I love this statement in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, talking about Old Testament worthies. He said, "These all died in faith." I love that. "These all died in faith." You know, the moments there leading up to my mother's passing. Of course, those of you who know my father know that he's not going to sit around too often just, you know, chatting about the weather or sports or something like that. It's pretty much involved with an open Bible. We're sitting there in the nursing home, and Mom is just each day slowly getting weak. We're just sitting there. You know what Dad wants to talk about? Let's talk about Bible passages and Bible things, and that's great. So we're talking about those kinds of things and death and Bible passages and Bible concepts. And this passage came to my mind, Hebrews 11, 13. We're just talking about, well, what comes to your mind, Dad? And, well, Chris, you know, what comes to you? And I got to think about it. Hebrews 11, 13. "These all died in faith." But you know what's interesting? Look at that very carefully. You may have a marginal note. "These all died in faith." Literally, it's "these all died according to faith." They died according to the way a faithful person is supposed to die. That is, living the faithful life. They died, these all died, literally, according to faith. According to the way that faith dictates that someone should die. And that's a beautiful statement. Do you want that? Absolutely, we all want that. But are you living the life of faith? Back up to verse 6. "Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is..." Mr. Pope, "he that cometh to God must believe that He is." Period. Now, I am discouraged when I hear someone say, "You don't have to believe that He is." I am very bothered by that. He must believe that He is. But, more along the lines for us, are we living that life of faith? Now, when you back up to verse 4, somebody says, well, what does it mean to live a life of faith? Starting with verse 4, every one of these men and women heard God and they obeyed their word. That's what it means to live by faith. When God tells me to do something from beginning to end, I'm going to live by faith. Whether it is Abel verse 4, Enoch verse 5, Noah verse 7, and on and on and on. When God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. And you know what? When it comes time to die, because I've lived in faith, then I'm ready to die in faith. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours. Beautiful statement in Revelation chapter 14. Turn with me there. You want to die in the Lord? I do. Do you? I know we all do. These are beautiful statements. Beautiful statements of Scripture. But in order to die in the Lord, I'm going to have to live in the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That means you die in a right relationship with God, with sin having been removed. You've obeyed the gospel properly. And even later in life, when you slipped up, Galatians 6:1, you were overtaken in a trespass, but you got rid of it. You confessed that, you repented of that, you prayed for forgiveness. Comes time to die, you die in the Lord. What a beautiful thing. But in order to do that, back up with me to verses 4, 5, and 12. These people, this is talking about first century Christians who were persecuted by Rome. And they're being, chapter 2 talks about Antipas, my martyr. They were being killed for the cause of Christ. And when they die, they die in the Lord. Well, how were they living? Look at verse 4. They followed the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Look at verse 5. There was no lie found in their mouth. They were without blemish. Look at verse 12. They keep the commandments of God. And so when it comes time to die, they die in the Lord. What a beautiful thing. So, as we close this morning, I want us to think how that it's great. It's great to talk about heaven and think about that day and what it takes to be in heaven in that beautiful place. But let's not make the mistake of Balaam. Let me die the death of the righteous. And then a couple of chapters later, hey guys, let me teach you how to commit fornication and idolatry. See, that just doesn't work. Now, is Balaam remembered in the New Testament, in 2 Peter, and in Jude, and in Revelation? What is he remembered for? He's remembered for how he's actually walking. Not just the talk he's able to talk, but how he's actually walking. There may be someone here this morning who needs to make a change. We're not given a promise of tomorrow. Please come and do that. I know that you want all of these things. The death of the righteous, and being with Jesus and dying in the Lord. You want those things. I want those things. But let's have a life now that matches up with that. If we can assist you in making that change, the water's ready. It's right here. It's right here. You don't have to go anywhere. There are garments that you can change into. Make the change. And so if something happens, whether it's down the road or later on today, we're ready to pass from this life. And you know what? The preacher doesn't have to stand up and make up all this stuff that's not true. He can just simply state what actually is, that you lived right. He doesn't have to stand up there and make up this hope, and you're sitting there going, that's a completely different person than what I do. He doesn't have to do any of that. He's just simply talking about how that you actually lived. You actually obeyed the gospel. You actually worshiped God on a regular basis and read your Bible and did all those things. He doesn't have to make up anything. I know full well, having preached many sermons, many funerals, having attended many funerals all through my life, I know how easy it is. All of a sudden, at the last minute, the preacher stands up and all of a sudden he has a past and he starts making up stuff.
starts making up stuff about what's going on in heaven. I've heard things about what's going on in heaven that I didn't realize was going on there. It's not in the Bible anywhere, but the preacher, boy, they just lather that. You can just lather that thing and pull on the heartstrings of people that are listening. But there's not an ounce of truth. Where are they getting all of this? That you'll be doing this up in heaven. And I heard one person talk about fishing in heaven. Fishing now. The preacher won't have to do that with you. He'll just simply state what the truth is about your right life. But if you need to make some changes, we encourage you to do that. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?